word to us has the power in our receiving to bring cleansing. That's why faith comes by hearing the word of God. So we get that revelation word and we're already clean just by receiving. If we bring that revelation word to others, we impart that cleansing to others too. So that's why we're designed to be fathers and mothers to nations, because we can bring that cleansing word that imparts faith and brings other people to life. So that's what we're sort of journeying with in this covenant series, how we've come out of something which even the scripture itself defines as old and obsolete. In fact, uses the word obsolete. And we're coming into something new that's ever renewing. This way of defining how God relates to us, covenant. And today we're going to be looking at what we absolutely love is when someone has a revelation on something and it imparts life, and they bring it, their revelation, to the table for us all to receive from. And we've literally tasted the revelation that Mal is about to bring, because Chris and I were invited to celebrate Burns Night with them a couple of years ago. So we've tasted this revelation they're going to bring, and it is really, really good. And we have we move in this more in our family, building in rhythms and traditions and places for connectedness. So let's all just give Mal a massive welcome and receive this word of faith he's going to bring us. Oh yeah, good one. I'll pray for you. Yeah, good. Nice. Lord, I thank you so much for Mal. Just what a father he is to so many. What a kind, gentle, prophetic and good, honourable man he is. And how many find covering under him, under his presence, just being around him. And we're so grateful that he's come today to release a word of faith, an impartation to us, that we come alive in an area where currently we may not be. Thank you that your word speaks dead things to life, and we receive life in an area we've not received it today from Mal. Amen.
Brilliant. Great. So today, I got the longest title in history of any talk I've ever had to been asked to do before, which I'm quite excited about. Just tell you a little bit about me. I think I have a clicker somewhere. This is my family, my immediate family, who I've got to do life with for the last 21 years. Are they there? It's a close-up of milk. Is what my family look like. Oh, I quite like them. We were going to get down with them in a minute. So that's my family. Three out of those four are here. And the other one is right now in San Diego, California, suffering for the Lord. She's doing Bethel. She's doing the second year of Bethel, which we love the culture of. And she is she's on a mission trip with a church this weekend, and was texting us yesterday saying she was just jumping in the ocean. So we felt really pleased for her. And that's what they look like normally. That's really what they look like. This is the longest title in history that I was given. The peaceable way of new covenant people embracing the unforced rhythms of grace as a lifestyle. Okay. Now what I've understood is that you're part of this deep theological journey of covenant. So the first half is all about that. Yeah? And so that bit counts as I love that you're in this long series, and that Alice and Chris sent me the breakdown of what you're doing. And I love that you're in this long season of investing in identity. Because I think it's identity first. If the DNA of the Bible is identity and purpose, the theological words are covenant and kingdom. But you only have the amount of authority that you comes out of your identity. Do you get what I mean? If you want to see people healed, then you want to become more of a child of the King. Because if you really know you're a child of the king, you see more authority. Because you've got it as a princess or a prince of the kingdom. So I love that's what your emphasis is. I love that you're digging deep, deep, deep roots into the, you know, your understanding of your covenant with God, that everything of yours is his and everything of his is yours. I love it. I love that that's your starting place. And what my understanding is of today is I want to get really practical with you and a bit fun and get kind of rubber hits the road-ish with embracing the unforced rhythms of grace as a lifestyle. So what does that mean? I think it means, what does it mean to invest in your identity just on a day-to-day basis? You know, how do you do that? The unforced rhythms and grace, I love the idea that that's where it's from in the message. Jesus saying, come with me. It's the verse that is, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It should be enjoyable to walk with him alongside you. Now, some of that is reactive, yeah? But really this morning, I think my question is, what is proactive for you? So there's some things that are reactive. Lord, I love being sensitive to your spirit and you're telling me to go and lie in green pastures. I'm going to go do it. Great. But what about the places you're called to be intentional? What about Luke 17, where Jesus tells the story of the servants saying, we're only unworthy servants who are doing what the master's already told us to do. What has the master already told you to do? You see, that are the intentional things that we think we're called to be doing. That's what I want to kind of land on today. You may have seen this in the news this week. It was hidden a little bit from everything that happened on Westminster Bridge through this week. But this was a story that was on the BBC website. And it was also, I was listening to Radio 5 this morning, and it was anybody listening to Radio 5, just about 9:15, it was on there. This is the story of two little boys, 2 4-year-old twins, and a 2-year-old little brother, and the three of them, their mum collapses in front of them at home, and she's the only one at home. This happened this week. Yeah, one of the 4-year-olds got his mum's iPhone, and got her thumb and put her thumb on the phone and then called Siri, got Siri to call 999, and then this is what happened next.
Hello, please, what is your emergency?
Hello, I'm Roman.
Okay, where's your mummy?
She's at home.
And where are you?
At home as well.
Can you do me a favour? Can you go and get Mummy?
She can't, she's dead.
You said Mummy was there. What do you mean she's dead?
It means that she's closing her eyes and she's not breathing.
Right, so do you know where you live?
Road 22.
Can you go to your Mummy and shake her for me?
She's not waking up.
Give her a good shake. Shout out, Mummy.
Mummy! It didn't work.
Are you in Kenley?
Yes, Kenley.
What is your name?
Roman.
Did you get it? I love that he knew his... so basically he knew his address. They came... And although his mum was unconscious, they did save her. They were able to save her, and she's okay. But just, wow. And I don't know if you can see at the bottom of the text on the article on the right, it's the chief superintendent for the Met Police, Aid Adakan, says, hearing this call brings home the importance of teaching your young child their home address and how to call police or emergency services in an emergency situation. Yeah, I love that. And I love the bit too of, you can also teach your child that you can put their thumb on to unlock the phone. Wow. Teach your child in the way they should go. If your child knows what they're supposed to do, they'll follow it even under pressure. That's what I take from that. If your child knows their place and knows their story, knows what they're about, knows their address, knows their location, actually, they're a lot more useful. Can we... Oh, yeah, there you go. Yes. I don't know if you've come across this. I'd really recommend the TED Talk. Everybody knows TED Talks. Most of you know TED Talks. One of the most popular TED Talks with millions and millions of views, over 20 million views, is a talk by a lady called Brené Brown on the power of vulnerability. And where she's fascinating is that she actually talks about all her research as a sociologist into people who've gone through trauma and difficulty in understanding. And she basically says people come down to two different kinds, those who know they're worthy of love and those who don't. That's her conclusion. I really recommend a TED Talk called The Power of Vulnerability. But one of the things she says is those who know that they're worthy, know what they're part of. Often we've talked about, there are two different images, I guess, this DNA of the Bible, covenant and kingdom. The kingdom one is this, just do it. When I was in Germany, some German theologian says, "Where is that in the Bible?" And I said, "It's written on the side of your building, because it actually, your building says Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom and everything else will be given to you." Yeah, it's just do it. Just do it. But that comes out of a different swoosh, a different arc. That's the kingdom one. The covenant one, I want to suggest to you, is that one. The narrative arc, knowing your place in the story. When your story meets with God's story. If the big arc is God's story, if we know our place in the story. Last time I got to connect with you guys, you've been looking at some material by a guy called Cesar Kalinowski. And that's what, he's all over this stuff. And I think it's such a helpful way to understand our world, because people understand story more than they do absolute truth. They understand narrative curves. And to understand that actually there is a big story of God, and that actually you are part somewhere where your story meets with that story. And Romans 8 says, when your spirit meets with God's spirit, you cry, Abba, Father. When your story meets with God's story, when your identity connects with his identity, you know your place. Does that make sense? Brilliant. So a couple of scriptures that inform what I'm going to go into, a little bit of principles, so a couple of practice ideas, and then lots of ideas, and then for you to go, now how do you want to run with these kind of things? In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean, tell them. This story is brilliantly the story of Joshua coming, taking the people of God into the promised land. Joshua 1, 2, 5. I think it fascinates me that this is a much later prophet saying, remember your journey. Remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal. I love being able to say that in church. The polite version in some Bibles is Acacia Grove. So you can remember your journey from Acacia Grove, but the NIV is Shittim to Gilgal, that you would know the righteous acts of the Lord. You know your place in the story. If you can know your place in the story, then you know what God's up to. And Shittim to Gilgal, the journey is basically Joshua 1 to 5. It's the place from Shittim, is one side of the river where they were called by God to go into, to live a new way. And Gilgal is the other side of the river. Gilgal is the other side of the river. If you go to the notes, it actually says, and they called this place Gibeath Haraloth. And then you go to the notes, it says, which means hill of foreskins. So Gilgal is the place they went from calling to consecration, to actually going for it with God. Remember your journey from where he first called you to where you gave your life fully to him and even aligned yourself in private and secret ways to him, that you would know the righteous acts of the Lord. And what it says, that verse before in Joshua, was when you go across the river, each of the leaders should take a stone out of the river. And when you get to the river at the other side, you should make an Ebenezer. You should, it's called an Ebenezer elsewhere in Numbers, but an Ebenezer is a pile of stones. And it's so that when your children see those stones, they'll say, what are those for? And you can tell them the story of what God did. Yeah? We even have a little song to go with that. I've spent some time in Uganda, and knowing you guys are about to go to Uganda and even raising money for it. And by the way, when you dance in Uganda, you got to dance like somebody's just scratching the itch in the middle of your back. You know, it's like, oh, you've got it. Oh, left of it. Oh, that's good. Oh, you got it. Oh, that's good. Right. Oh, yeah, that's it. For the next 3 hours. You'll love it. But they had a song which is, Ebenezer, here we are. The Lord has brought us this far. Ebenezer, here we are. The Lord has brought us this far. When you get the words, Ebenezer, here we are. The Lord has brought us this far. For the next hour. Love it. But actually what they're communicating is, we know our place in the story. You see, we know our place in the story. Here we are. The Lord has brought us this far. Obey these instructions. This is now going to the story of the Passover. Do this. And when you enter the land the Lord has promised you, observe this ceremony. And when your children, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them. Explain the story to them. Explain what it is that God has done. Oh, very excited. And then finally, in Deuteronomy, fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. How do we help make ourselves understand that we're part of a bigger story? How do we help do it? I want to suggest to you there's one key way. And it's this. Oh, that's not that. It's that. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. If you want to be, if you want to get strengthened, I understand the promise of this verse is, if you want to get strengthened, set your hearts on pilgrimage. But what did pilgrimage mean? If you want to be strengthened, pilgrimage wasn't just doing something like that. Pilgrimage actually, or even like that, that's to Santiago de Compostela. What I love is there's all these different ways, routes to where St. James is supposed to have died. And the English way is the tiny red one, because they caught the boat. They didn't walk anywhere at all. And when you get there, there's the biggest flaming handbag in the world, the Bota Fumero, that is a person tall. Anyway, that's what you get. One whose heart is set on a journey. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Pilgrimage is being set on a journey. But specifically, the context of that verse is, the pilgrimage was up to Jerusalem for the six festivals a year when they met with the Lord. So Psalm 113 to 118 are the songs of the ascent. I was glad when they said to me, let's go up the hill of the Lord, to the festivals, to the things that are the bigger stories. So blessed are those who get strengthened because they celebrate the story of what God's been doing with them. They celebrate all the stories, yeah? And celebrate the places he's been a deliverer and a sustainer of their lives. The idea is linked to the idea of discipleship. A disciple is a traveler on the way. Literally, it's a traveler on the way. You know, the Christianity was called the way. It's this sense of a journey and celebrating what God's done in it. Yeah. And even the next verse, that blessed are those who strengthen the Lord, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. Actually, even the festivals where it's remembering things that are hard, even the places, Baca is the places of tears. As they pass through the places of tears, they will make them a place of springs. When we remember what the Lord has done. You singing that Matt Redman song, Worthy, You're Worthy, just sets me off. You're lucky I wasn't Paul in the... Because when we went to America, as we arrived, we used to live in America, and I met a 21-year-old boy, and I remember the Lord saying to me, this guy's going to be really important in your life. And I was really excited because he was like the jock, and he was just like, they had the homecoming queen and he was the homecoming king, and it's like, this is exciting. And then when we moved there, he'd contracted an illness that only seven people in the world was known to have, that he was dead within 2 years. But his process of journey to Jesus brought his mum and dad back together, and I got to journey with him. And I also got to say to him, Joe, when you're ready to go, you can go now. And he died about an hour later. And it was that song I sang on my own, Worthy You Are Worthy, that when I blubbed and blubbed and blubbed to be able to cope speaking at his funeral, where there were about 2,000 people. And everybody in the who was there, they had an overflow venue as well, but they'd had a support car sticker that said, Joe, fight, win. And what I spoke on was, Joe did fight. This is Joe. He did fight, and he did win. Now, what about your life, and are you going to fight, and are you going to win? And I said, and some of you need to get right with the Lord, and it doesn't matter. I don't need to know that, but actually Joe's mum and dad do. And if you want one of his bumper stickers as a statement that you are going to start following Jesus, as acknowledging what Joe's done, then I'd ask you to go and ask Joe's dad for a bumper sticker. Joe's dad told me he had to go and print extra stickers. So many people asked him for them. There are certain things that are triggers, that are memories of our story. That you set me off on one this morning. And actually, it's a tough memory, but actually there's something about God in it too. And actually bringing pools of refreshment to places of tears. It's knowing our story. Okay, we're going to have a quick bit of fun. All right, and you know they always say in church, don't bring your mobile phones. You need your mobile phone. and then I'm going to finish with a few ideas. We're going to do a quick quiz online. Yeah, called Kahoot, and you need your phone for it, and I'll ask you four questions, you get to answer on your phone. You need to go to kahoot.it, Kahoot it, and if you just start playing the thing, it should come up in a minute, and everybody, you can sign on, you'll be asked to sign on in just a second. If you do have free data, please don't use the Wi-Fi, because I'm worried we're going to crash their Wi-Fi. Can we go to that page, Dan? Great. Great. There we go. So you go to Kahoot IT, and then you need to put on in that pin, 303-2384, and then they'll ask you to sign up with a name, and you then have to come up with a witty name or not. there we go. Very good. Keep going. Should we go for the trendy music that goes with this? Great. You're allowed to do this in teams if you need to. We always say, don't you wish your mama like me? Okay. You've been entertaining angels unawares. Brilliant. Okay, do we think we're there? So four questions will come up. We'll go through each question. You have 20 seconds to answer that question. On your screen will come up four choices, and then you get to press which choice you'd like. Okay? Are you ready? Can we press start? These are all questions about festivals. Ready? Go. Four questions. Are you ready? These are questions about festivals. Are you doing anything for Lent this year? That's the question. Are you giving anything up? Taking something on? Are you doing 40 acts? 100,000 people are. A Bible reading plan? Or nothing? You're allowed to have nothing, but we only got four answers. Oh, 25 people. Oh, so most people giving something up. Some done something on. Few doing 40 acts. Few getting in God's word. There you go. Next. What's your favorite festival season? It's not hard. Christmas, Advent, Easter, Lent, Valentine's or New Year's. Kind of just party hard ones. Or something else. MLK Day. Thanksgiving. What do you like? Oh, anybody want to shout out what some of their others are? Come on! Oh, good stuff. You're making the point for me, hopefully. Great. Next. Do you have a day in the year your household celebrates your national or heritage day? So if you're originally from Australia, St. Patrick's, is there anything that you celebrate, yes or no? Very good. Very good. We'll come on to that in a moment. And then finally, last question. Do you have any specific times you are spiritual together as a household? Either, yes, daily? No, not really. We do a weekly something, but big festivals, that's when we do it. Like Christmas, Easter, we do something then. Daily, not really. Weekly something, we get spiritual at big festivals. Which do you think? Wow. So some daily, some not really, some big festivals, weekly something. Good. What I really am wanting to put a pitch in for is the big festivals. That's where we're going. Oh, by the way, I should say, George Muller, as a hero of the city, we were at his place just the other week taking some guys around there. He would interview the guy, you know, all the orphans that they would invest in and give a trade to. He would actually give a questionnaire to the employers saying, do you gather as a household daily for prayer? And then brackets, and do you include the servants? And if they said no to gathering the servants, he wouldn't place the orphans with them in that place. Just as an interesting... Anyway, what I really want to get onto is for you to think about how can you celebrate festivals more? How can you celebrate your story that you're part of? A lot of it is celebrating identity and heritage. We have nothing to do with Ireland, but we do have quite a lot to do with Norway. And May the 17th is Norway's National Day. And so we remember the story of the guys who are our friends, and we celebrate it with them. This is a chance. There is always something to celebrate if we want to. It's almost being more intentional within it. What about your heritage? This little boy on the right, his name is Hamish. And I married a McInnes. This is my sister-in-law getting married. And what I was really aware of is, everybody, you know, wore the kilt and McInnes tartan and all that kind of thing. But when we gathered with them for Burns Night a couple of years earlier, we didn't just talk about poetry and creativity. We talked about the history of the McInnes family. And I watched this little boy's chest raise out when he said, I'm a McInnes. We were the bowmen of the Macleans, and we were the only ones who were strong enough to lift the bows and be able to fire them. So the McInneses, that's what I'm part of. Do you get what I mean? He knew what he was part of. What can you celebrate of your heritage, of your story? We do Burns Night. The only key thing, as our version of that, the only key thing is there's lots of whiskey involved. We even do it online. So when our kids are away, they submit something from abroad. We don't have many local versions. I think we need a George Muller Day. Have a word with Marvin, can you? I think we need a George Muller Day in Bristol to celebrate our story, our heritage, of actually to have a life defined by God's provision. Do we celebrate the story that we're part of, that when our kids say, what are you part of, you can tell them? So this is where I want to finish. And I want to finish by giving you an example of what we do. And then really, it's over to you to think about how can you do more things to celebrate the story that you're part of. I know for our kids, I think the biggest thing, things like Thanksgiving, Burns, all those festivals, those touch points to the story that they're part of and the big God story they're part of has been huge. has been huge for us to understand faith. So I just want to talk you through our Easter week, and I'm going to finish with one thing that we do on the Sunday. We're going to act this bit out first, okay? So I'll tell you the week, but the Sunday, unless I need your help with this, we're going to divide you into two halves to finish, okay? You need one of these. And you need this. So what we do on Easter Day is say that we know from the Passover story that this represented the Messiah, that it was bruised and pierced, and it was hidden and broken. And then when we, on Easter Day, we break it into a tomb. So can you break that up into a tomb? And I'm going to break it up as well. Actually, would you mind being team leader as well? I know you're good for this. So breaking that up into there. Yeah. And then each of the two teams on each side, we're going to pour coffee onto dark black coffee, which represents death. So it needs to be mushed up enough to be quite tight. And then we're going to have two sides. This is a raw egg yolk and sugar. It represents the sweetness of new life. So, and then what we do is have a, and is that we competitively get into teams and then stir it, and it's whoever gets it lightest wins, okay? So you're this side, you're this side. When you've stirred it enough, yeah, pass it on to somebody else, you can go. When you've got it, I've got a blister doing this about three times, which is why we do it in teams. So as soon as you start feel it going, then go to the next person. That's it. Then what we do is we acknowledge that the black that the body absorbed, the black of, there you go. You can encourage your team on if you like.
Woo! <Come on.
laughs> Chriselle is really, really good. If you want to see the professional technique, she's like, oh, come on. She's like a kitchen maid. Danish. Yeah. Okay, while that's still going around, let me explain the week, and then we will finish by doing this and praying. And then, by the way, the finish is you get to eat it, if you'd like to. But we're not quite there yet. So in Easter week, we have a table like this. Can you see the table? Then, Dan, can you move it on? Then on Passover, on the Thursday, we put out the menorah, and then we do the story that Jesus instituted communion. That is the most powerful way, I think, to understand what communion means. And so we do a Passover meal. We've done it in bigger settings as well. Can you keep going? With lots of people, but actually we think it works best telling the story, the interaction, being family around a table, telling the story together. Then keep going. Then on Good Friday, the crosses come at the end of the path and there are bits of blood. Can you keep going? That we put into the path to acknowledge that's the story as we eat. Then on Saturday, we go for a walk, and on the walk, keep plonking, on the walk, we go and cut down forsythia from somewhere, because we want to have something that is just new life coming into bloom, so that that same table on the next day is crazily full with all kinds of things, of all kinds of goodness, especially in the back, an Easter tree. Can you go to the next one? And then the tree has eggs that the kids have made as kids and all that kind of thing on it. And then while we're there, we do this. You need the plate. Where's the plate gone? Yep, that one. Good. So you want to make sure that's nice and absorbed. Has it got nice and absorbed? Yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good. So you want to put the plate on top of the thing. That's it. And then Easter Day, we're celebrating the body that has taken on death coming out of the tomb. You may need to give it a good tap. That's what the angels did. And that's it. A bit more. Yeah. And then guys can stop wherever. Can you run forward with wherever the thing is and pour it, the new life, onto the body? Now, let's see the color. Let's see the color. Let's see the color. Oh, so that's good. Let's see the color.
It's like a video.
Yeah. I think this team is the winner. That's the lighter one. Even with Chriselle, I don't know what happened. And then you eat it. But to actually tell the God, I just, no, it's really, but it's the first time people had it with us, they said, that is disgusting. And they said, it grows on you year on year. It's amazing. So obviously each team you get to try for your table. Can I pray for you? Because all I wish for you is that you are strengthened in the Lord because your heart is set on knowing your place in the story. And I pray for a release of creativity and ideas for you as households as to how can you help those around you understand the place you have in the story better. So should we pray that? Lord, we just commit every household here to you. Every family, every relationship group, every extended household. And Lord, we want to pray strengthening in you by knowing our place in the story and what our identity is with you. So Lord, I pray you'd release another level of creativity to things that affirm relationships, affirm identity one to another, and also in their story with you. We bless every national heritage here, every story that you're redeeming by your goodness. And we ask for increased ways to know how to explain that and share that with those that we're called to raise up in the faith. Lord, thank you that when our story meets with your story, we cry, Abba, Father, and you affirm our identity. May we leave this place anointed to go and show that in new ways. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.